السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا وقد خلقكم أطوارا. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i kiram, most respected brothers, also sisters listening over the receivers, I have no intention of going to the tafsir of these ayat. However, thinking of what to say on this occasion of Majlis of Islah, because that is the purpose of these majalis. It is not for some kind of very high-sounding words and academic discussion. All those things are required. There is a need for it, there is a place for it. But this majlis, as I have mentioned repeatedly, is for Islah purposes. So therefore we have to repeat, go on repeating and repeating. And all repeats are not bad. Every day we are repeating the water, we are repeating the food, we are repeating the breathing of the fresh air, and we are repeating so many things in our lives. And especially those people who are suffering from certain kinds of ailments and sicknesses like sugar, diabetes, etc. So then they have to keep on taking insulin, they have to keep on taking the other medication daily. And nobody complains about it. Nobody says that now we are sick and tired, how long are we going to keep on breathing? How long are we going to keep on reading Surah Fatiha in every rakat of every namaz? Nobody has said up till today. Why? Because there's a great lesson, there's a great message in it. So we have, even in the field of physical sicknesses and ailments also, what we term as specialization. That some people are specialists, whether it is specialists of the eyes, or of the heart, or of the liver, or lung, or ear, nose and throat, whatever it may be. But we have some who are specialists in that field. They go through a whole process and after that they specialize. So this majlis is more or less for that kind of purpose, that it is islah, that we have to now make amal on that knowledge which we already have. Keep on increasing the knowledge, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the only thing that he has been told in the Quran Sharif to ask for increase in is knowledge. فَقُرْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. So ask for increase in knowledge, but we know that knowledge on which there is no practice is considered to be jahal and ignorance. If there's practice, then it is knowledge, and if not, then it's just information, but it is considered as ignorance. So therefore, something I recall some years ago, I mentioned, I don't know whether in this majlis here or somewhere else, because we go around, that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu had stated that if a person has been blessed with five things, then he will not be deprived of five. Now these type of simple things, they are like the prescriptions that the doctors give, very simple little prescriptions. They just write a few words and they give it. The other person understands, the one who dispenses the medicine, he understands. The people who have the knowledge of the ingredients that are in that medication, they understand that what is in those few words. They get a full picture of it. Like we, when we take the medication, we don't know what are the ingredients, we don't know all the details of whatever is in the medication. All we know is that we went, the person investigated, the person did some diagnosing, and then he gave us some prescription, finished, we take it, and we get it from the chemist, and inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala wills, then we get some shifa. But when you are giving that prescription to the chemist, he knows fully well, or the doctors know fully well, that that one word which has been mentioned there, one ingredient which has been mentioned there, it has got so much of potential, it has got these type of effects and side effects, everything. They get a full picture of the whole thing. So like that, those who are Allah walas and those people whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed with taqwa, with piety, with ilm, with khawf and khashiyat. So they, in these little ayat, they get a whole picture. That, so that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, say that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because whatever they reported was what they have heard from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They said, whoever is blessed with five things, then he will not be deprived of five things. The first thing that he mentions in there is that the person who is blessed with this tawfiq of shukr, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not deprive him of an increase in his ni'mats. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is promising there that definitely, most certainly, Allah ta'ala will give an increase in the ni'mats. If the person is going to make shukr, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to give an increase. Now this increase, whether it comes in the quantity or whether it comes in the barakat, now all that is in Allah ta'ala's hands. Sometimes the quantity remains the same, but the barakat is tremendous, which I have discussed so many times, that we, in our childhood days, we know that there used to be little corner shops where some old man is standing and there's no wife working there, no mother working there, no sisters working there, no daughters working there, nobody working there. It's only that old man there and he's got one, two staff. And with that little shop of his, he donates towards masajid, madaris, he goes for hajj and comes back, he goes to India, Pakistan, wherever he has to go, distributes to the poor and needy there, gives his zakat, sadaqat, and it's just one person that is working and one little corner shop. RBM2ZN, please remove your cup. So that is what we term as barakat, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives plenty of barakat. Or that which has come through as earnings, Allah ta'ala makes it such that the person is able to use on himself, his wife, his children. It doesn't just go wasted. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi says, from your expenditure, I gauge what your income is like. He says, your expenditure tells me what your income is like. When we find the person's money is being wasted on decorations of halls, and lavish weddings, and the wastage of a kind that is unbelievable, especially in these times when there's so much of poverty and so much of need for this type of funds to be used correctly. We don't say within reasonable limits you don't have a kind of happiness and enjoyment. But I'm talking about nothing but real wastage, which has absolutely no benefit. The decorations of halls in which hundreds of thousands are spent, and all other kinds of partying. So all these things indicate that there is something not really right. Sometimes the person can be, of course, earning properly, but the fact is that I'm just giving you one saying of Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi. It doesn't mean in every case now if we see somebody wasted like that, we say his earning was haram. Sometimes the earning is halal, but he doesn't have the knowledge, or he doesn't have that kind of taqwa in him, or understanding of what is really right and wrong. Or it is just for show purposes, just for name and fame, because this is something that is ingrained in our hearts, that people must talk good about us, and they must say, look at this person, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with plenty of wealth, so see how he invited thousands of people, and what a party he threw, and look at the 7 and 10 course meal that he gave. Now that's all, name. What is this name going to really help us? When this person is in financial difficulties, can he say, I've got a name now, I spent so much on that wedding, so I've got a name. Now that it's a recession and there's a terrible knock, so therefore I'm giving you this name. Please purchase this name. Will anybody be interested in that name? So it's stupidity if the person thinks that by name he will get something really to his credit. Nothing. We must ask Allah Ta'ala for izzat and respect. And Allah Ta'ala's system is such that with taqwa, He gives respect. If the person has taqwa in his life, Allah Ta'ala puts that respect into the hearts of the people. It comes from above. So that is what we should try to achieve in our lives. Then eat, drink, spend within reasonable limits. Do the things that we have been ordered to do. But don't be ungrateful for the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. And this I have been hammering on and emphasizing over and over, because when we are not going to be grateful to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when we are going to show ingratitude, then the dangers are there. We look at the history of the world. Look what happened. And even recent times, look what has happened in those countries where there was nothing but such wastage and such kind of pomp and show and merrymaking and entertainment, where even liquor and other things were served. So what happened? So therefore, this is the first thing. So the person who has been blessed with shukr, the ni'mat of shukr, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not deprive him of an increase in the ni'mats. And the ni'mat of shukr, or shukr, is that when the person is blessed with sight, he uses the sight correctly. He is blessed with hands and feet, then he uses the hands and feet correctly. That is the real shukr. Not just zubani shukr, the person is making alhamdulillah, shukr alhamdulillah, and next thing is kai is at the casino and disco and rave club. But he says, I made a lot of shukr on the ni'mats. So shukr is in accordance with that ni'mat itself. So he says, whoever is blessed with that, he will not be blessed with deprivation of an increase in those ni'mats. So we only consider when it's gold, silver, wealth, property as great ni'mats. But the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blesses a person with, is a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, it's a ni'mat. Now if he's going to read the Quran Sharif, understand it, make amal on it, and make plenty of shukr over it, then Allah Ta'ala will increase the knowledge of the Quran Sharif to all these great, great akabir of ours, mufassirin of ours, and muhaddithin of ours. Now all of them, if you have to look at what they have given to us in volumes, the Quran Sharif, one tafsir is said to be a, which was there in Baghdad at that time, was running into 200 volumes. 200 volume tafsir of the Quran Sharif. Wow. Now where did they get that knowledge from? Did they get it from some kitab? Like we will sit here, what we did is we read some kitab in the madrasa days, or somewhere after that we picked up some literature, or we heard somebody's bayans or something like that, or some magazines or some pamphlet. We read that and we get some knowledge. And then we talk about that. How much we read from there, that much we know. So now these people, if that was the case, then they would have had very limited knowledge. Because look at the Hadith Sharif. I mean, how much is there? Sometimes it's just one little Hadith Sharif. If you look at the Quranic verses, sometimes it's just one verse of the Quran Sharif. Now to write 200 volumes of the tafsir of the Quran Sharif, which means that that knowledge was not from the kitabs which they got. That knowledge was not from the kitabs. If it had been from the kitabs, then it would have been very, very limited. Because before they wrote that tafsir, how many other tafasir was there of 200 volumes that he could have read all that and then written 200 volumes? He could have read one volume of somebody's tafsir, or probably there was no tafsir available at that time in the way that we have it in our hands. So then where did this knowledge come from? So that was on their taqwa, on their piety, on their khawf-e khuda, on their muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, on their azmat of the Quran Sharif, on their shukr over this great ni'mat that they were blessed with. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opened up their hearts, and such kind of knowledge Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed them with, which was not in the kitabs. This was the knowledge they were inspired with by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and nobody can point a finger and say that what they have written there was all just some kind of mental gymnastics and nothing else. I mean, we are all using that same tafasir. Look at Ruh al-Ma'ani. Now, so many volumes, 11 or 12 volumes of that. What kind of knowledge? Where did this come from? Look at Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, 2,000 kitabs. Now, and in there, this tafsir of the Quran Sharif, and there's so many other kitabs. And the kind of knowledge we don't even find sometimes in the books of Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh, and Imam Razi Rahmatullah Alayh, and those people, that kind of knowledge you get in there. So where did they get it from? This is what I'm saying. That it was that tremendous amount of shukr that they used to make over this great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that they were blessed with. And that was the ni'mat of ilm, the ni'mat of taqwa, the ni'mat of shukr, zuhud, qanaat,
Now all these ni'mats Allah Ta'ala blessed them with, so they increased the shukr, and Allah Ta'ala kept increasing their knowledge. That is how they were able to give us so much. Look at Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi, they say you have to look at his life, and then after that look at the number of works of his. It doesn't make sense. Where can a person with such a small lifespan and write so much of kitabs? Then we read also of people who were able to read 100,000 times Durood Sharif a day. 100,000 times. And together with that, Ishraq, Chasht, and Awabin, and Tahajjud, and all kinds of namazes. And together with that, Tilawat of the Quran Sharif. And together with that, their work and livelihood that they used to have to. Now, where did they find the time for all that? Can we even imagine 100,000 times? Look at the tawafs that we get in the kitabs, that the person used to make all night tawaf. 70 times tawaf, so many times tawaf. Now, 70 times tawaf, plus that all the two rakat namazes that the person has to make. And then in between also, he must be sitting a little bit and making some tasbihat. It can't be just, he just finished the tawaf, rushed to two rakat namaz and back again. Now, with all that, how did they find the time for all these things? This is what I'm saying, that the barakah. One person had an objection, that they were, they claimed that a certain buzrug and waliullah, he can finish the Quran Sharif from Asar till Maghrib, between Asar and Maghrib. So now he said, how can that ever happen between Asar and Maghrib? So one day he said, take a walk on the Jamna river side. He just took him along and kept reading the Quran Sharif. By the time sunset, he finished the Quran Sharif. So now, say, how did that happen? Barakat, imtidat in the time. Allah Ta'ala gives a kind of barakat we can't understand. It's not only in money, it's not only in this gold and silver. There are so many ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in which He gives such a barakat and such increase that it baffles our imagination. Look at this space, just as vast as space is. Now who created the space? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the creator of space. Therefore I say that if we had been designing and planning at a time when there were not one aeroplane in the world, at that time if we were designing the world, then we would have said, well, the roof of our buildings is so high. Okay, somebody will build 20-story building, 50-story building, 150-story building. So that much is sufficient. Above that, we'll put the sky and make it a solid iron and steel sky. What would have happened if we had planned like that? All our aeroplanes would have hit this roof and come back again and smashed to smithereens. Look at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, His knowledge and the space that He created, that thousands of aeroplanes are flying. And somebody has 30,000 feet, somebody 60,000, somebody 150,000, somebody on the moon, and somebody going further than that. That Allah Ta'ala who can create such spaciousness in this universe, what is it difficult for Him to give that kind of barakat in time? Time also is the same creation of Allah Ta'ala. So now if He gives an expansion in time and barakat in time, why should we doubt? But there's no barakat in our lives and no barakat in our earnings and no barakat in our time because of our deeds and actions. So we have no experience of what barakat is all about. We have no experience. We say that before we start anything, the time is finished. I can't even read one tasbih. I can't even do this. I can't even make my two rakat nafil namaz. All the time there's no barakat, no barakat. The person who was earning 1,000 rand, now if he's earning 10,000 rand, he says no barakat. And if they were earning just pittance and nothing, and they were fighting in the jungle, some guerrilla warfare, but now they are earning millions or earning hundreds of thousands, they say that it's not sufficient, because we've got to maintain all the Mercedes Benzes that we have bought on taxpayers' monies. And also we've got some 2 houses to now pay the bonds, and we've got this to pay and that to pay. It's not enough, not enough, not enough. So there's no barakat. So therefore here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala reports that the person who will increase his shukr over those ni'mats, and as I said, that shukr will come from the heart. It is a sifat of the heart. It is just like tawazu is a sifat of the heart. It's not just bending down and walking and shaking hands with people half bent. That is not tawazu. That can be, a person can be bowing down and doing everything, but it's not necessary there's tawazu in the heart. Tawazu is a sifat of the heart, that in the azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person sees that he is absolutely insignificant and nothing. If there is a little candle that is burning with a little flame on it, now that candle has to brag in front of the sun's rays, that I too am something. See, I also have got light. What would we say to the candle, you stupid? what is your light in comparison to the light of the sun? And nobody is even watching your light. There's nothing. So the person who has got the azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, say the sand of the sea was bragging that there's a brightness and shine on my surface. Because the sun was shining brightly, so he said this, that look at the shine on my surface. When you go and see the sea sand, when the sun is shining and it's a dry sand, sea sand, so look at the glitter and shine on it. So the sand was bragging. So the sun told to the sand. It's just an example. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali gives the sun told to the sand that just hold on. Don't be too hasty in your bragging about the shine on your surface. Just wait a little while. And after the sun set, says, now brag about the shine on your surface. That shine on the surface was due to the sunshine. If there was no sunshine, there would have been no shine on you too. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when it is His fazl and His kindness and His ihsan, and He with His power and qudrat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with His fazl and kindness, when He gives somebody a little bit of shine, then that person must not think that this is all my shine. If he has got ni'mats with him, he must think that this is the shine of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azmat and greatness. It is Allah ta'ala's glory. It's from Allah ta'ala's unlimited treasures that He has blessed me with this knowledge, or has blessed me with the Quran Sharif, or has blessed me with gold, or with silver, or with home, or with a palace, or with business, or with intelligence. It is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And therefore, this person will be consider himself like the sand that has got some kind of shine, but he knows that if Allah Ta'ala has to just move that glance of mercy and rahmat from him, then everything will come down. Nothing. The person will go absolutely flat. Look at some people, what kind of knowledge Allah Ta'ala gave to them. Sheikh Tantawi is not a person, an ordinary person, person of great knowledge, great knowledge. Look at what kitabs he has written, and how much of respect he had. But now suddenly he became a government alim, and now he has passed the fatwa that there is no need for the women folk to make hijab and parda. Look at what is happening in Egypt now. And yet he is the Sheikh of Azhar. And it is said that the Sheikh of Azhar is appointed by the president. So therefore we must not be too proud or too hasty in coming to conclusion that we are great people. We have got great knowledge. Therefore I said in America when I was there, I said, wherever I go, there's nothing else I hear except that we are a great country. We have great parks and we have great buildings and we have this towers rising so high. And we've got this and we've got that. Nothing wrong if you have it, but look at what is happening in those towers. Majority of the businesses were nothing but transactions of interest there. Banks and banks and banks. Borrowing and lending on interest. What is to be proud about that? Then I said, all these parks and everything, that is not something to be proud about. Nothing wrong, make use of it, ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. But just to brag about it, that our country is very, very great, and now today the person talks about that America as if it's nothing. At one time that green card was like as if some person got some great dawlat and great wealth, and he got jannat, that he's been given green card. Now that green card is worth absolutely nothing. So therefore we should not be hasty in coming to conclusion about ourselves. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِبَنِ التَّقَى. Allah Ta'ala only knows if the person has got taqwa or he hasn't got. Allah Ta'ala knows what his condition is. Zahir can be different. Batin is a different thing altogether. It is Allah Ta'ala's fazal that he has concealed what is in our batin from the outside world. Otherwise the malice, the greed, the pride, the arrogance, the envy, the jealousy, and all the evil and lustful glances that we cast, and people who in secrecy and privacy they watch the porn sites and read filthy magazines and engage in dirty actions, all these things Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala only concealed with his ihsan and fazal, and with the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam being rahmatul lil alameen, that his ummah is saved from this kind of azab. So therefore we should not come to conclusion about our own piety and taqwa. So we are talking about shukr, that if the person is going to increase his shukr over these ni'mats, whether it is material or whether it is spiritual and ruhani ni'mats. Unfortunately we don't make shukr over ruhani ni'mats. Ruhani ne'mat is the basis, it is the foundation. We're talking about Muslims now, we're not talking about the Jews who own half of Cape Town there and own all the resorts and everywhere else they got the greatest amount of wealth. We're not talking about them, we're talking about Muslims. Now for the Muslim, if he's blessed with wealth, with the fazal of Allah Ta'ala, with the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, with the happiness of Allah Ta'ala, then he can take lesson from Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala. So much of wealth, so much of wealth. But look at his piety and look at his taqwa and look at his crying. When he's looking at the ni'mat, he's crying. Read the incidents. And yet he was so rich. So to have ni'mat and to have richness is not an issue. A person can be multi-rich and can have palaces. But we are talking about shukr over those ni'mats. And shukr means that the person does not abuse those ni'mats. He makes plenty of tawbah and istighfar. He asks Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness over his shortcomings and makes a lot of shukr, shows a lot of gratitude for every ni'mat in the morning, evening, whatever ni'mats he's been blessed with. He says, Ya Allah, all the ni'mats that you have blessed me with, I make shukr of yours and then use it correctly. That's all. So he said, this person will not be deprived of an increase in those ni'mats. Before he had the tawfiq of making 2 rakat namaz, now he'll get the tawfiq of inshallah tahajjud also. Before the person used to make just his 5 times namaz, now he'll get the tawfiq of making inshallah some sunnat, some nafil and some other ibadat also. If he's going to keep on increasing his shukr over these ruhani ni'mats, Allah Ta'ala will increase. In the same way with from over the material things also. So that is the first thing. The second thing that he mentioned, now we can go on in that direction, but let's take the second thing. That he mentioned that whosoever has been blessed with the tawfiq of tawbah, then he will be blessed with the acceptance of his tawbah. وَوَالَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying that he is the one who accepts the tawbah from his servants. He says, whosoever will be blessed with the tawfiq of tawbah, then he will be blessed with the acceptance of that tawbah. There is a great meaning to that. That one is the person does not make tawbah at all. Or he is making tawbah, but he is not making tawbah with the conditions of tawbah. The tawbah is just lip service tawbah. It is not some deep-hearted tawbah where he is returning to Allah Ta'ala. It's like a person who is lost somewhere, a child that is lost, and now the child is returned to the parents. Child comes back. Or the person was gone into some jungle and he couldn't find his way out. And where there was great danger now of the lions and the cheetahs and the wolves devouring him. And now he is returned, come back home. So like that, this person returns to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He was distanced, he had gone far away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Due to his lack or due to his negligence of his salat and zakat and fasting and hajj and fulfillment of the rights of people and bad dealings, cheating and deceiving and stealing and taking interest and giving interest and committing adultery and fornication. All these type of sins had distanced him. He was gone into the jungles where he was lost. Shaitan and nafs had devoured him or were about to devour him. But suddenly now he got the tawfiq of tawbah. And he cried and he sought forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala and he came back. So then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will accept his tawbah, which means that now he must fulfill the rights of the people, return to whomsoever, whatever is due, start making those namazes, qaza, whatever. Fulfill the rights of the tawbah. So then there is a promise in the Quran Sharif that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him the acceptance of the tawbah. وَوَالَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِي Qubuliyat is promised. And who is promising? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Usman, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala went to see him when he was sick. So Abu Usman was asked to make dua. Hazrat Hassan told him that make dua because sick person's dua is accepted. So he raised his hands, he read some Durood Sharif and some ayat of the Quran Sharif and he made some dua. And then he said, Alhamdulillah, his dua is accepted. So they asked him that, how do you know he's accepted? You raised your hands, made some dua, and he said, accepted also. That means some wahi came down, or what? Did Jibreel al-Islam inform you of this? That you are telling us wahi accepted. He said, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَوَالَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِي So I made dua. Sincerely, the person makes dua. He says, I made dua to Allah Ta'ala. I made tawbah and I made dua. So I believe in the acceptance. And also Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Udu'uni astajib lakum. So therefore I made dua and I'm promised acceptance on that dua. So that's the kind of yaqeen that they had. So there must be a proper tawbah. So then it will be accepted. So the person who is blessed with the tawfiq of tawbah, then he will be blessed with the tawfiq of acceptance of that tawbah. But with the conditions, as I said. Now that also is a subject. Then he says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجَرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The person who is blessed with the tawfiq of sabr, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bless him with unlimited rewards. The person who makes sabr, and sabr doesn't mean that the person does not take treatment if he's sick, or does not make use of the means to come out of that difficulty and problem that he is in. He does all that. But together with that, the difficulty that he is in, or the pain, or the suffering, or the test and the trial, then this person makes sabr over it. That it is from Amai Allah. Now there again, if the person is pious, is righteous, then the promise in the Quran Sharif, again the promise in the Quran Sharif, Inna Allaha ma'as sabireen. Now whose promise can be more truthful than that of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So he is promising his ma'iyat that with the people who are making sabr. Therefore it is said that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give reward, the mafhum of that hadith Sharif, that Allah Ta'ala will give reward to the people who did good deeds. A lot of good deeds people did, they will be given rewards according to the scale or according to Allah Ta'ala's fazal, whatever reward is promised, they will be given. Thereafter, those people who made sabr, rains of mercy will pour upon them, like how rain pours in this world, like how tonight is raining. Like that, rains of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy will pour upon them because of that sabr that they exercised in those difficulties, in those hardships, in the pain and in the suffering and in the tests and the trials. Because we have absolutely no knowledge of what it is to make sabr. Allah Ta'ala mustn't test us, but ask those people who are undergoing torture and persecution in the prisons for no other reason except that they were proclaiming the oneness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, even in these days. Look at the different prisons of the world, how much of torture and persecution and all other kinds of things that's happening. Now what else can they do except sabr? Nothing else they can do. Look at Guantanamo Bay, how many years they made sabr there. Young boys who were arrested and put there, some of them don't even know why they were put there. But what else they could do? They were making the salat, they were making some tablawat, ibadat, and they were teased and they were ridiculed and mocked like it was happening in the Iraqi jails. Look at what they did to them, made them naked and made a mockery of them and teased them and insulted them and did everything. So now at such a time, what else could they do? They were making tawbah, they were making istighfar, they were making dua to Allah Ta'ala. But as if nothing was happening. So it's not that nothing was happening. Something was happening. Their duas were going up. Injustices were taking place. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not overlook those injustices. Then we can see what came. The whole country is in the verge of collapse now. The currency is in the verge of collapse. Everything, what is left in America now. So therefore, and those people now, for them, that they were exercising sabr, that they couldn't do anything more. It's not that they could have just run out and disappeared. Day and night going through the same process. What kind of torture? Then look at the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhum's time. What kind of sabr they had to make. We can't even imagine that. So now when they were given promises of this kind, it gave them a kind of consolation. There was no question of them doubting what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. And that is what happens when the person has got that kind of sabr. Then immediately inside his heart, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives him a kind of sukoon, which even the kings in the palaces do not know of, in spite of having all the luxuries of the world. Inside the heart, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them ni'mat and dawlat and wealth of sabr. And with that sabr, he gives them sukoon. That they know that it is coming from my Allah. Now Allah is watching me, He's observing me. It's not that I've moved away from His sight. Allah Ta'ala suddenly went off to sleep, na'uzubillah. Nothing. It's like the beloved is watching the lover. So therefore the pain is also reduced. There will be natural grief, natural pain, but inside the heart, if the person is obedient, now in Gontanam obey, what sin they were committing? Nothing. Obedience to Allah Ta'ala, nothing else. Every young person there that was there, nothing else. From the morning you'll find those pictures that we used to see reading Quran Sharif, and they tied up sometime and they can't even move and they can't, nothing. Sabar, sabar, sabar. So on the day of Qiyamah, the rains of rahmat will pour on them, rains of mercy will pour upon them. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will enter them into Jannah with great amount of respect. Now that time it is said that on the day of Qiyamah, when the people will be getting the rewards for sabr that they made over those du'as which were not accepted in the world outwardly. In the world they were making du'a, Ya Allah, I'm sick, give me shifa. Or I'm in poverty, remove my poverty and please bless me with wealth. Or whatever du'as he was making, it was appearing to him as if it's not being accepted. When the people will be given the rewards in the Qiyamah, then that person will wish that his skin was cut with scissors. Those people will wish that their skins were cut with scissors and they had to make sabr over it so that they may get higher rewards in Jannah. But now that is not for us. We must ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat, afiyat, afiyat. Protection from any kind of difficulties, calamities, tests and trials. Our iman is extremely weak. Pretty, pretty faces are making people just leave their Islam and go to some other deen and mazhab. That's all. Or just one little hamper and the person is gone. So therefore we must ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for afiyat. Because we slip very easily. There's no control over our passions and desires. People of namaz, people of zakat, people who have made hajj upon hajj, and we make umrah upon umrah, and we do everything. But seclude that person with some woman somewhere and see what happens. Can he have that sabr of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? Can he have that taqwa if accidentally there was some seclusion? So therefore, our nafs, we got no control. We must ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. From sins also we must ask for protection. And from our physical ailments also we ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat in our badan, in our bodies. And in our wealth also we ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat, that Allah Ta'ala must protect our wealth also. So the protection of our iman, the protection of our wealth, the protection of our bodies, the protection of our knowledge, the protection of our deen, the protection of every bounty of Allah Ta'ala, that is what we must ask for. Because, as I just gave you the example of that Shaykh Tantawi, now he suddenly, look at the slip that he made. Now it's a different thing, he can make tawbah, istighfar and again become a waliullah and be blessed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala because of his some other good actions and all his knowledge that he had and whatever it may be. But the fact is that at this moment in time, look at the number of people that will go astray because they say it's a fatwa that's coming from the Shaykh of Azhar. And people wait for fatwas like that. So they will say it's coming from there. And especially the non-Muslim countries, for them, they will say, oh, you are talking about parda, parda and hijab and niqab and everything else. There's your greatest sheikh, sheikh of the greatest Islamic institution in the world, they'll say. So therefore we have to be very careful. Therefore that dua after namaz, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da iz hadaytana. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da iz hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. We just don't know when that zayigh and dalalat comes into the life of a person and he makes a slip of a lifetime. He cannot even stand properly after that. The wobble comes in his life. So we ask Allah Ta'ala for protection from that kind of zayigh coming into our life, that kind of crookedness coming into our life. We just don't know when the person can slip and fall. That is the reason why we are told, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Because if the person is going to keep the sohbat and company of the Allah walas, of the righteous and the pious, and none of us have got the right to consider ourselves as amongst that caliber and category, but we search for people who in our opinion have got piety, taqwa, and we stay in the sohbat and company, whatever extent we can. Then what happens is that because they are protected, Allah Ta'ala makes them mahfooz. They are not masoom. Masoom is only the Nabis of Allah Ta'ala masoom. But these people, because of their taqwa, Allah Ta'ala makes them mahfooz. So because of that mahfooziyat that they are enjoying, protection of Allah Ta'ala from sins and other things, Allah Ta'ala generally protects them. So in their company, then we also get that rains of rahmat transferring, and we also get some kind of protection in their company. Because it transfers. I gave the example the other night here. I said that, look, in those days it was very difficult to explain that how they say that transfers take place from heart to heart, transfer, how can they take place? Heart is a thing, I got my heart, you got your heart, how can transfer take place from heart? As I must sit in the company of these Allah Wallahs that we get heart to heart transfer. Apna dil kisi jalte huye dil ke qareeb kar de, aag lagti nahi hai, lagai jati hai. Aur nigahe wali ki ye taaseer dekhi, badalte hazaro ki taqdeer dekhi. So how can that happen? So it is simple to understand in our days and our time. We've got computers now. And the computers have got so much of information, so much of different things that are there on the different kinds of chips that are. So now they have sometimes one company that has got 10 branches. One in America, one in China, one in South Africa, one in Japan and some other part of the world. But those computers, we say, are linked. The moment you feed something into this computer, automatically it is transferring into that one, and it's transferring into that one, and transferring into that one. Now, different places, millions of computers too, if you have, and if you have the right connection, then from one computer, which is absolutely silent also, the computer is not making a big noise and dancing and jumping and raving, absolutely silent, like the sheikh of the time, Kamil Sheikh, silent. But from there it's transferred there, from there it's transferred there, from there it's transferred there, and it can carry on transferring. Now it just depends that where do you sit and what do you transfer. So now if you're going to sit in the company of those who are in discos and cinemas and theaters and rave clubs and dancing and singing and adultery and fornication, then silently the same transfer will take place into the person that's befriending such person. And if you're going to sit in the company of the pious and the righteous, those who are namazis, those who are going to the masajid and madaris and khanqas and tabligh and dini places and reading and writing and fulfilling the rights of people, and they got shukr and sabr and zuhud and qanaat and taqwa in their lives, then with silence, complete silence also, there will be a transfer from heart to heart. As long as there's a connection. Aqidat, azmat, muhabbat. With these three things there will be a transfer. That's the connection. The wires of connection are aqidat, azmat and muhabbat. Like how we have those plugs here and we say connect it inside there. So like that, the connection is azmat, aqidat, muhabbat. So that's the third thing. What's the time there? What time we started? Namaz was quarter to 10 past we started. Now I will just list the other two. My mind is now going in a direction. In any case, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal ihsan. So the third thing was this. هُوَ الَّذِي يَقَبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. Then he said, so this person won't be deprived of acceptance of the tawbah. Then he said, the fourth thing is this, that whosoever will make istighfar, the person who makes istighfar. Istighfar is, there's a slight technical difference. That istighfar, the person is making over future. The person, that in future and for the present, that the person is sincerely repenting, asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And tawbah from all his past sins and past actions and past everything that he has done. So the past and the future, the slight technical difference, but otherwise it is practically the same thing. Where we say now this person is going to make istighfar. Now if he makes istighfar in abundance, then there are great, great promises that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made on that istighfar. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, he told to his people, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Now some promises have been made in there. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was calling his people, and they did lots of things. They troubled him for 950 years. 950 years is his tabligh. It is reported that at 40 years of age, he got his nubuwwat. Like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that he is informed of his nubuwwat. And then 950 years is his tabligh. How can you imagine 950 years he's being troubled. That is why Allah mentions this incidents in the Quran Sharif, that they never gave up hope. Now these people, they plug their ears, they cover themselves with shawl, and they tie him up in blanket and throw him away after beating him and thinking that now he's passed away, they leave him like that. As soon as he gains consciousness again, he say, worship one Allah. So in any case, after that he says, I told them that it is for your own benefit. I'm not asking you for the benefit of Allah Ta'ala. Allah will not benefit from your istighfar and tawbah. I'm giving you explanation. He said, is this for your own benefit? If you're going to make istighfar, then Allah Ta'ala is very, very forgiving. He'll forgive you your sins. He's ghaffara. But not only that, something that's beloved to you, and that is that you want rain, so he'll send you down rain in abundance too. Torrential rain. Nice, good rains will come. It will water your crops and give you enough to drink and everything. Everything will be very, very pleasant, because when rain comes, it brings so much of rahmat. So he'll give rains of rahmat to you. And not only that, but he will strengthen you also with either sons or children, both translation there. So Allah Ta'ala will give you children also, give you sons also. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will bestow upon you gardens, he will bestow upon you rivers. In other words, all the ni'mat that you can think of, you will get on this istighfar. So make istighfar. So therefore it is mentioned that the person who will make istighfar, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will not deprive him of these ni'mats which have been promised in the Quran Sharif. However, sometimes the person does not get it physically, he does not get it materially, he does not get it in this world, he'll get it in the akhirah. But generally, even in this world, Allah Ta'ala finds a way out for this person in his problem, if he starts making plenty of istighfar of his sins. Now that is again a subject, and the last thing that was mentioned there, that if this person is, one was, what did we discuss? We discussed istighfar, and sabr, and tawbah, and shukr, the last one slips my mind. Inshallah, when it comes to mind in the next majlis, then I will mention it. But that is again Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's tarbiyah. That's something that was so much engraved, suddenly I'm made to forget. That is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system. Keeps our balance. Therefore, sometimes a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, he'll read the entire Quran Sharif without any mistake. And when he comes to the last surah in Wal Asr and Inna Atwayna, he makes a mistake. There's one hafiz of the Quran Sharif. Brilliant. No mistakes at all. When he came to the end, Wal Asr, he was reciting. And he started reciting, he went on to Wattin. Wal Asr, Inna Insana Lafi Khusr, Illa Alladhina Amanu, Wa Amilu Salihat, Wa Tawasaw Bil Haq, Wa Tawasaw Bil Sabr. But he went on to إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. The Hafiz of the Quran Sharif comes there and he makes a mistake. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, whatever he willed, have put it before you, may he give us the tawfiq of amal. Without amal, nothing happens. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving, most caring Allah. We are your most sinful servants on the surface of this earth.
There is no one more forgiving than you. There is no one more merciful than you. My beloved Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim wa khatakar hai. Hamare gunaho ko maaf farma, khatao ko maaf farma, arzisho se dargzar farma. Hame sihat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat wali zindagi de, zillat wa riswai se hamari hifazat farma. My beloved Allah, bless us with barakat in our homes, in our life, in our time. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Bless us with complete shifa from all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Those who are in poverty, give them halal, rizq and sustenance in abundance. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove their difficulties with plentiful of halal rizq. Bless us with children who will be the coolness of our eyes. Those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils. Bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Remove the pain, the suffering, the difficulties, the hardship and problems of mankind around the globe. Especially the ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, ek din marna hai akhir maut. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, porn sites of the internet, filthy magazines, adultery, fornication, popping drugs in our mouths, or any kind of haram action. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. If it is not muqaddar and destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Let it be the best day of our life. My beloved Allah, those who are planning for Hajj, make their Hajj easy, maqbool, remove all obstacles from their path. My beloved Allah, hamare hal par raham farma. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala an-nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.